Good morning and welcome to our Good Friday service. You'll notice today that the stage is a little empty. We do not have musicians. We have come to the point where we're all being good stewards of ourselves, and we are not going to have our live musicians here for the next while until things have changed. So we're not going to be singing. But what we did this morning for you, what we've done is that we have placed links on the website and with the YouTube channel as well. There are three links to three beautiful songs that go with Good Friday. The one song says, "The cross has the final word." The other one is a beautiful song by Sandy Patty called Via Dolorosa, which means the way of suffering. And then there's a beautiful, beautiful song that just speaks of hope in this difficult time. It's called There Was Jesus. So when the service is done, go take a little time and click on those three links. They'll take you to YouTube and go listen to the songs and just celebrate this day that we call Good Friday, because Jesus came into this world to give us life, although for him it was a dark Friday. So it's just going to be me this morning, but thank you that you are joining us wherever you are joining us. I pray that the Lord will work through his word, through the prayers, that he will just speak into your life. Thank you for joining us and for your love and for your care. May God be with you as families in this time. Please bow your heads with me. Father God, on this day, the whole earth mourned, for the sun disappeared and the earth was dark and black in a moment when your son bowed his head and breathed his last breath. And the universe, Lord, just mourned. But thank you that he did not stay in that grave. And although today we speak of the cross and the grave, we know it's only Friday and Sunday is coming. We can be here today, Lord, and we can be filled with joy, and we know that we are saved, and we know that sin has no place in our lives, and that we have been set free, and we are children of God, and that is all because of you, Lord Jesus. Because you chose to walk on the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. Because you, Lord Jesus, chose the nails to be on the cross, because they didn't need nails to keep you there. Your love would have kept you on that cross. And today, we know that the cross has the final word, because it says to sin, and it says to death, and it says to evil, and it says to Satan, "You have been defeated. For Christ Jesus is the King." So often, Lord Jesus, in the Gospel of John, when you speak of the moment when you go to the cross, you speak of being glorified. Thank you. Glorify yourself in this day. And now, Lord, as we open the word and we break the word, will you speak into our lives? In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read for you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 32 to 36. Mark, chapter 14, and I'm using the NIV, but whichever translation you want to use, that's perfectly fine. Beautiful passage in the sense that it has an amazing message for us, but a really sad passage, because this is the moment that Jesus goes to Gethsemane. They, that's Jesus and the disciples, went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground And he prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. As we find Jesus here in the Garden of Gethsemane kneeling to pray, he's deeply aware of what it's going to cost for him to do what the Father has sent him to do. To be the one that will save our lives, become the Savior of this world. To set us free from sin. To break the chains of evil, to take away the darkness. He knew that he would suffer, that he would be tortured, and that it would end with him having to die for each one of us. He knew that the only way for the Father to destroy evil and sin was the way of sacrificial, self-giving love, where his only Son would have to die like that Passover lamb had to die. And as Jesus kneels in that garden on his knees, the shadow of the cross is already falling upon him. And death looms on Calvary. And in that moment, God is quiet. It's as if someone had hit the mute button. No wonder when Mark writes, he says, Jesus was deeply troubled. And his soul, says, was overwhelmed by sorrow to the point of death. Because here in his darkest, darkest moment, God does not speak. God is quiet. And what does Jesus do? That's where I want us to go this morning. In this moment when Jesus is overwhelmed, when Jesus is troubled, when the whole world kind of comes tumbling in on him and he knows what's happening and the Father is quiet, what does Jesus do? He prays. And I want us to look at this prayer in depth a little bit this morning, and I want us to notice a few things. First thing I want us to notice is in this dark moment where God is silent, when Jesus talks to God, what is the word he uses? He says, Abba, Father. He could have called God anything else. He could have used one of those big Old Testament words, God Almighty. He could have used that word, King of Kings. He could have even said, my shepherd. But he doesn't do that. Jesus chooses to call God by a name that not many people in those days would even dare call God. He says, Abba, my Father. Can I just say this? And I've said this before, but just hear me again. When Jesus talks to God and he calls him Father, it has nothing to do with gender or masculinity or anything like that. It has to do with this intimate relationship that Jesus had with God, that he's able to call him Abba, Father. It has everything to do with the fact that Jesus knows that he can trust God to the nth degree, even in this moment when God is not speaking and God is quiet and he's not even close as it seems. It has everything to do when Jesus says to God, Abba, Father, with a deep reverence, knowing even in the silence, when things are falling apart, God is not absent, but God is still Abba. Do you understand that, my friends? Do you get that? Because how often do we not have this picture of God? Can I change your picture of God this morning? Often when we go through difficult, struggling times, when things are not the way they should be, and it seems like God is quiet, we have this picture that God is distant, God is gone, God doesn't care, and God becomes this being, and I'm not happy. Jesus says, in the silence, in the difficulty, in the darkness, God is still Abba, Father. That's what he came to show. If you just look at him, he comes to reveal God. He comes to reveal the Father heart of God that breaks for us. He reminds us that no, God is not behind evil. No, God is not behind the struggles and the hurts and the pains and the COVIDs and all the things that are coming into this world. You can't point the finger at God, because in all of this, God remains Abba, Father. When Paul writes to the people in Galatia, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, Jesus came to put the Spirit of Jesus into our heart, and the Spirit of Jesus that's in our heart calls to God, Abba. I pray that in your dark moments, I pray that in the moments when things are just too difficult and too hard, I pray that in these moments where we are distancing ourselves from each other and we yearn for each other. I said this morning, it is hard for me to walk into this church and it's empty because I miss you. But to know in those moments that the Spirit of Jesus is in my heart and it calls Abba, Father. And even in the silence of this church, God is still Abba. I want you to see a second thing that happens in this prayer that Jesus prays. He says, Abba, Father, I know that all things are possible for you. Jesus says, God is greater than anything in this world. And I know I've spoken about that 2-3 times in the past few weeks, and I'm not going to belabor the point again here this morning, but I want you to see something really, really important. That even in this moment when God is quiet, when the world is upside down, Jesus does not downsize God. He does exactly the opposite. He makes God great. He doesn't diminish God to the point where I equate God to the things that are happening in my life. And according to that, I want to measure God. And now I am downsizing and diminishing God. He says, God is greater than anything in this world. God, my friends, is greater than our fear. God, my friends, is greater than our struggles. God is greater than my pain. God is greater than my hurt. God is greater than anything that could come my way. Father, I know that anything is possible for you. One last thing, and it's kind of two things that go in one that I want you to see in this text. Abba, Father, I know that all things are possible for you, says Jesus. Please take this cup away from me, but not my will, but your will. Because he knows God as Abba, Father, and because he knows that God is greater than anything, Jesus can go to the Father and say, Father, can I just be honest with you? And as he kneels there, he says, Father, I got to tell you something. I really don't want to drink this cup. I really don't want to be here right now. I really don't want to go to that cross. I really don't want to go suffer. I really don't want to be tortured. I really don't want to drink this cup. Can I just say that to you, Father God? I just need to be really, really honest with you. Why? Because God is Abba, Father. But how often do we get that wrong, my friends? We do it to ourselves, we also do it to God. We lie. We'll walk up to each other and I'll say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. In the meantime, you're lying through your neck because you know you're not doing fine. And when we speak to God, we often lie to God. We're just not honest saying to God, God, I'm a little ticked off at you. God, I don't get you right now. God, why are you so silent? God, I'm struggling with disbelief. God, I'm afraid. Don't lie to God. Can you just say it? The most beautiful prayers that do this, we find in the book of the Psalms, it's called the Psalms of Lament, where the people who are lamenting will go to God and say, this is how I feel. Jesus prayed one of those on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's really honest. Because what happens, Walter Brueggemann says this so beautifully, says we are so disoriented by the things in our life and that make us feel upside down. But the moment I can be honest and truthful with God and give it to God, there is a new orientation towards God, and God changes fear into hope. Darkness into light breaks the chains, and He puts me into freedom. Can we just be honest with God like Jesus? But with that goes the second part of that. Father, take this cup away from me. And then, but not my will, but your will be done. Can you see that where the honesty goes, the trust? I know you're quiet right now. I know that you're not saying anything right now. And I know that I'm standing here on my knees in Gethsemane and there's a cross waiting for me. But Father, if that's the way I need to go, I will trust you. See, we have a choice. We have a choice when we feel things are falling apart and they're dark and difficult. We can turn our backs on God and say, I'm done with you and I'm walking away and I want nothing to do with you anymore. This is it. Or I can make the choice. God, I'm going to trust you. Although nothing makes sense in my life right now, although everything is just out of control and I don't get it, I am going to trust you because I know that you are Abba, Father. Maybe you're saying to me, Aubrey, that might come easy for you. Whoa, doesn't. Doesn't. And you can't manufacture this. The only place that you can find this is when Jesus comes and He allows you to go stand with Him in Gethsemane and pray the prayer, Father, I know all things are possible. And I'm so scared right now. But I'm going to put my life in your hands. It only becomes possible when we walk with Him to that cross and we stand there and we hear Him call, Father, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But to hear Him with His last breath say these words, Abba, Father, into your hand I commit my soul, my spirit. It happens when we walk with Him to the grave and they put His body in the grave and they put the stone and there is silence in the grave. But then we know that the fact that God is silent in that grave, silent on the cross, silent in the garden does not mean that God is not working. Because in the silence of the grave on Friday, we know that today is Friday, but Sunday is coming. May Abba be with you today. Amen. Pray with me. Abba, Father, we know that all things are possible with you. Some days we pray, Father, will you take this cup away? Because the days are hard, dark, difficult. But you understand that and you know that. And even when it feels like you are silent, we know that you are working, because silence does not mean that God is not working. The grave just shows that. Thank you that your will is the best for us, for we know that. On this dark Friday, when our Lord Jesus went to the cross, it was for us, so that today we might have a new identity. We are no longer slaves of sin. We are children of God. We have a new hope. We do not stumble and fall in the darkness. We walk with joy in the light. We know that in this day, we would like to sing the songs of mourning. But Lord Jesus, we know that you are going to turn our mourning into dancing. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for putting your Spirit in our hearts that allows us to call Abba, Father, loving Father. To you, O Lord, belongs the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, it is finished.